There's something that is happening tonight. To everybody who believes. You see, how we attract the things of the Spirit is not by how we look or who we are. It is understanding the values, the principles of invoking God's attention. I was reminding some of my PAs, my personal assistant, and some of my protocol people today. I was telling them something. It was in 2008, 1 a.m., exactly 12 minutes past 1 in the morning, a.m., I was on top of the mountain praying. It was called a night of decision. Where should I continue with my studies and live completely just like a person, a normal person, or leave everything and go and serve the Lord? It was called a night of decision. It was in August. And I was standing on top of the mountain. I was there for 17 days and nights. And I was praying and had an encounter where I saw the angel of darkness standing this side and the angel of the Lord standing this side. And both of them said to me, make a decision. And you wouldn't know that this is an angel of God and this is the angel of light, for they all appear like human beings, normal human beings. But there was a need of a laser discernment. And I was standing there, and I was seeing, and this other angel says, you're going to go far. You'll be one of the most educated men, and you'll be so intelligent, and you'll be very rich. And the other one says, you're going to save the Lord, and you'll be persecuted. And he didn't say you'll be rich, he said you'll be persecuted. And I'm standing there, and have to make a decision. It was a night of decision. And I'm standing right there. And I remember very well, 21 minutes exactly, 21 minutes past 1 midnight, I began to sing a song with tears in my eyes. I have decided to save Jesus. To save Jesus. I have decided to save Jesus, not turning back, not turning back. And I was singing with the tears in my eyes, for he told me, you will be persecuted. And no one else loves to be persecuted. He told me, in the morning, I walked down the mountain, I was so weak, I couldn't even afford to walk myself. But God made a way for me to go down the mountain. According to his own love and mercy, he made it. Amen. And had the first service, where I preached to about 8 people. And now, in those days, I never knew, and I didn't even understand where God was taking me to. But one thing I was confident is I had made a decision. The things of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, they are not things we follow. They are things we decide. You don't have to follow them, but you have to decide. It's either you decide to follow Jesus, not just following Jesus. There must be a decision. And in the course of serving the Lord in that year, just in the beginning of my ministry, I went through so much persecutions. And all those people, I have some pastors here who are here with me, who knew me in that year, I began to be persecuted. But what sustained me and what sustains me is prayer. I am very bad on verbal battle. Every word that you're using, words, and it's verbally, I'm a very bad fighter. But every war that involves my knees, I'm an expert. It takes a battle between an eagle and a snake. Each eagle that lost the battle, it is an eagle that was fighting the snake on the ground. Are you here?
Amen.
But every ego that has got strategies does not fight with the snake. It holds the snake by the neck and it flies high with the snake in its legs. Then up there, it releases the snake in the air. As the snake is falling down, the ego comes, hit in the sky, flies up again. Hit it in the sky, flies it up again. The snake is useless in the air. Very useless. The snake dies in the air for lack of oxygen. And then the ego holds the snake by the tail, not by the head anymore, and lands on the tree with a useless dead snake. The problem we have is the devil knows the battles that he is bringing in your life, they are spiritual. But guess what? You are taking those battles into the physical where the devil is. The devil is so strong in the physical world. That's where he belongs. But when you take a battle to God in prayer, the devil is useless. Look at your neighbor and say, you must take your battle to God. The moment you take your battle into the spiritual realm, then the devil says, no. They are not strong. Or he'll take your battle into your mind and thinking so much and so strong, like, why am I going through all these things? What must I do? The moment you do that, then you have lost already. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. He knows he can't lose in his home ground. And he is trying slowly to take you to his home ground so that he can fight you and you can lose. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And tonight you're going to renew your strength. You're going to stand up once again. You're going to refuse to be defeated. You're going to refuse to give up. You're going to take over by fire, by force. You are rising up like a champion in the mighty name of the Lord. I like the song, take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I wish I was a musician. I could sing it right away. I know the song.
Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
What a friend we say.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace.
Oh, what peace we often fall. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace.
because, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
There are things you must understand and know in life. This is a revelation you must have and you must know. All what you're passing through is not physical as you think. This world we're living in is more spiritual than we think it is physical. We are dealing with the things and forces that we don't see with our eyes. If you're following, raise up your hand and say amen. My mission tonight is very simple, and I want you to know this. We're going to go into prayer. I just want us to take the devil from his home ground and put him in the spiritual realm. Let me tell you something. An ego is so strong in the air. An ego is very strong in the air. It takes the battle to where it is having the strength. Our ability is of God. Our strength is of God. I just want to show you something tonight. How powerful prayer can be. I want you to pray for something. And listen to me. The Bible didn't say pray and watch. The Bible says watch and pray. The Bible didn't say, pray and begin to watch whether what you've prayed for is going to happen. No, no. You have to watch first and then pray. What does that mean? We have a vice versa in this case where so many Christians, they pray for something and then they keep on watching if what they prayed for is happening. And when it's not happening, they go to pray again. That does not mean watch and pray. To watch and pray. It means you having first understanding. What am I fighting with? The word watch in the real Hebrew context and its interpretation on that verse in that context, it actually means discern and pray. Turn about discern and pray. To discern, the word discern comes from the word judge. To judge before prayer. In other words, it makes you first to understand what you want to pray for. Not just saying, let's pray now for families. Father, in the name of the Lord, I pray for my family. I pray for my uncles. I pray for my aunties. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. In the name, take away the sick. No, that's on watching a prayer. And that prayer is forgotten. This is why some of you can't remember what you were praying for 2 weeks ago. Because there was no watching. There was no observation. There was just you praying. That's what Apostle Paul said. These people worship God who they don't know. So you may be a Christian and praying in the church and calling yourself a greatest intercessor, but yet there's no ability of understanding what you are actually doing. You may be coming all the way from Botswana and all the way from far, Johannesburg, Pretoria, wherever you may be, coming in church just to pray things you forget 2 hours later. Amen. To watch and pray, it means it's like a project. You monitor what you're praying for. Before you pray, you make an analysis. It means you already know that what I'm going to pray for, God is going to answer me. Before you pray, you already have a conclusion. I'm talking to people who are hearing me, right? So the reason why we have so many unanswered prayers is that's why James says these people pray, but they pray and they have no results because they pray in a wrong way, amiss, which means wrong. It is wrong way of prayer. The word prayer comes from a Greek word prosuche, which means bringing out the information that is within. But what information is within? And how would you bring out information which you have not put in there? So there must be a time of analysis whereby you analyze something before you pray. This is why Jesus would go where Lazarus is buried. They have buried him 4 days ago. And do you know why Jesus had waited for 4 days to go? Do you know why? Because in Israel, they believe if a person dies, they believe that person, there is an ability for him to come back to life after 2 days. This is why Jesus waited for 4 days, so that their knowledge can be defeated first. Once you go 2 days, you're still dead. In Israel, they really conclude you're really dead. So Jesus came there. He didn't say, "Father, I bind the spirit of death. Right now, I approach you, you death, you a liar. In the name of Jesus." Oh, yeah. Oh, mo demo. There was nothing like that. What Jesus said was, "Heavenly Father, I thank you that you always hear me and that you heard me. Lazarus, come forth." Now, it tells you there was a prayer somewhere which was already made. And what he's doing there, he is doing what he had already prayed for. I'm talking to the right people. The problem is, we have people who they don't understand what is prayer. So Jesus brought, when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he was bringing out the information. It was prosuche, what he had already prayed for, what he had already spoken to God, what he had already declared, what he had already commanded. He was speaking forth. He was bringing out the information. He said, "Lazarus," he said, "Father, thank you that you always hear me and that you heard." Not that you have heard, not that you have heard or that you hear, but it was a past tense. Heard, you have, and that you have. So you must see these words. There's a past, present tense, and there's a past tense. So Jesus didn't say that you have heard. He said that you heard me. Do you hear that? So when he said you have heard me, it means it was a statement of the prayer he has just prayed. But he said that you heard me, which means there was a prayer before he even came in the scene. Don't face the scene and pray on the scene. Face the scene before you face it. So prayer. So Jesus said, "Watch and pray." Not pray, then you are waiting home. "You know, I've been praying for this for so many times. Nothing is happening. Happening. It's a prosuche. It's a prosuche.
Prosuche.
Which means what?
Prayer.
Which means what?
Prayer.
What type of prayer? Bringing out the information that is in you. So we have people who just say, "In the name of the Lord, oh Father God, I pray, hey, pray, hey, pray, yeah. I'm just, Father, in the name of the Lord." My brother, that is not prayer. That is an example of prayer. What you have been doing all these years was an example. A friend of prayer. Prayer involves meditation. Prayer involves what?
Meditation.
It involves meditation. Don't just be praying. "Father, pray now, pray. In the name of..." That's not prayer. Prayer, it is bringing out information or the knowledge, the know-how, how much you know, or the gnosis, what is in you. When I look at a person who is sick, when I say in the name of Jesus, be healed, it's not what is happening in there. I already faced every sickness in the secret. So when I look at a disease like this, say in the name of the Lord, be healed, it becomes easy because I'm not using the prayer that is there. Yes. But there was a storage of power. Yes. There was a storage. There was... We have got power reserves in us. Say, power reserves. Tell them, but when I react here, you won't even understand me. Angels will carry you up and throw you down. Say, prosuche. This is what the Bible says, to him who is able to do far above, exceedingly and abundantly, more than we pray or ask or think, according to the power that is working, according to the power that is working. Not just the power. You may have the power of God in you, which is not working. But according to the power that is working in us. So you must make the power of God in you to be working. How do you do that? Jude 1 verse 20 says, by building up ourselves into the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Each time you speak in other tongues, you are making the power reserves to be ready. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you speak in other tongues, you are making the power reserves. You say, hey, what's happening? What's happening? We are ready. We are. Yeah. How many here that speak in tongues? How many? And how many that don't? You don't speak in tongues. Can I see your hand up? Like, really? You're going to go to grave, to the grave like that? It's a simple question. Would you go to the grave like that? If I ask them, what do you want? Oh, I want fees. I want my children. They have nothing to do with things of the Spirit. I need the Holy Ghost. These are the things you need.
Oh, yes.
I want to grow spiritually. These are the things you must talk to me. I want my understanding. I want to have revelation of the things of the Spirit. Because once you have a revelation, you have got keys to your miracles. You didn't hear me? Once you have got revelation of the Spirit, it means you have got a key to every miracle that you need. Because all the things that we are looking for, praying for, they are based on revelation. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
I was telling somebody how I made a $10 million deal project just basing on revelation, not on money. Basing on?
Revelation.
Not that God revealed something to me, no. But using the power of revelation at work. All the things you see today is revelation. For people to know there is God here is revelation.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't even hear me. You may be playing soccer on top, yet down in there is oil. You may be struggling in your house, yet right there in your house. Hey, you need a revelation, my sister. One time I was in the lift, in the elevator, in one of the shopping malls in Sandton. And I'm standing there like this, and a man walks, pow, pow, on his phone like this. He was so busy on his phone, that when he was entering, he hit a girl, pow. The girl began to shout. But when I saw in the spirit, this man was supposed to marry her. And the man was apologizing. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Lack of revelation. Someone who went up, I said, shh. I said, wait, sister, cool down. I said, what's your name? She's like, I'm Janet. I'm like, okay. I'm a sir. Wait. What's your name? And he said, my name is Steve. I said, come here. You, stand here. You, lady, come, stand. I said, do you know me? They're like, no. I said, I am prophet, shepherd. The girl went like, yo, I'm sorry, I was shouting. Yeah, my mother loves you. You, my father, they watch you. I said, relax. I said, sir, take the number of this girl. I said, take the number of this man. I said, in the spirit realm, I'm seeing this man is going to marry you. She hugged him. And the man was so calm. The man didn't know anything about me. He didn't even know who I was. He never heard about Prophet Bushiri before. He was a karate guy. And this guy looks, he says, he looks at me and says, honestly, I don't know how. I don't believe in prophets, but I love this girl. As I'm talking, they always come. I see them in the overflow. They like sitting in, I think today they're also in the overflow there. Lack of what? Revelation. Fighting your own miracle. Ah! Relax. See with the eyes of Kaza. Do you know Kaza? Kaza is the eyes of an eagle. Eyes of a prophet. Tell about Kaza. Sing through the eyes of a prophet. Kaza. You are not a prophet, but just sing through his eyes. Kaza. I Kaza something right now. It means borrowing the eyes of an ego and using them. I don't know how many women they have ever shouted at the men who were supposed to marry them. Sis, can I have your number? Shut up! But when you have Kaza, even before he says, can I have your number? You'll be like, hi, how are you? Say Kaza. So prayer, tell me about prayer. And it's all about watching and praying. To watch. And it means to have understanding of what you're praying for before you actually goes on the altar. We have so many people who pray with issues unresolved. The Bible says before you pray, if you have wronged somebody, make peace with him. Before, that's part of watching before prayer. Watch, what have I done? What wrong have I done? Watch. And they pray. Tell them about watch and pray. Part of watching, you must first of all be a person who can understand what I'm praying for. God has answered it. Look at how great God is. See how big God is. See, he controls the whole universe. He holds the moon in his place. He holds the sun from falling. He makes the clouds to move. He controls the season of rain and he makes rain to stop. He himself controls the sea on the boundary that it cannot even go beyond. By his power, he makes the trees to grow and he made it to be alive. Look how big God is and see your problem and see the devil and see how small he is. Then go to prayer.